Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, not inside the Oxygen Community Studios today. We are inside the Casino Arizona Pavilion. We're here at Talking Stick Resort Arena, where tonight the Phoenix Suns, their final game before the All-Star break. We're down here with the Phoenix Suns for that game. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on? Glad you could join us today.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm happy you were able to join us. Me and Byron were going to do the show. We're getting ready.
Really?
Mapping it out, yeah.
Really? Sarah's disrespected. Somewhere Jordan is very disrespected.
Well, because he's here. Byron's here. They're not.
Oh, yeah, so you need to see somebody physically in the location with you.
Just somebody throw on the mic and let's go. Let's do it.
So I get off the freeway. I live way out in Gilbert, right?
Yeah.
Get off the freeway. And I start reaching in the back seat looking for my backpack so I can pull out my credentials, so I can show my credential to the person at the parking garage so I can get in the parking garage. And I'm feeling around, and there's nothing there. And at a stoplight, I took a look around, and my backpack is not there. No laptop, no iPad, no ability to play.
No credential.
No credential to even get in the building. Nothing. We're an hour before the show.
Man.
Turn around, go all the way home. Thank goodness, my son was home for lunch, and I'm like, you got to meet me somewhere in the middle. So he met me, I don't know, about halfway home, gave me the backpack. I got here like 10 minutes ago. It's an outrage, Gambo. I don't know how you put up with somebody as disheveled as I.
Because I do that. That's me.
Oh, is that?
That's me. How many times has it shown up? Yeah, I left. Chelsea, hey. I left like 5 pieces of paper on my, can you take a picture and send it to me?
My favorite.
How many times have I done that?
My favorite one. And Jordan will agree on this. I don't think this was pre-Sarah. Was the time that you couldn't find your wallet and you actually asked our boss if somebody could fill in for you so you could go look for your wallet. Like you were going to take a day off because you could not find your wallet anywhere in the building. And you actually said to our boss, I think someone has to fill in for me today so I can go find my wallet. And we're like, the show starts in like 10 minutes. There's no one filling in for you today, Campo. We're on in 10. It's straight up 2 o'clock in 10 minutes from now. You're not taking the day off to go look for your wallet, man. You're just going to have to
grind. I kind of remember that.
You remember that?
I kind of remember that.
Where was the wallet?
You know what, Sarah? It was 1 foot from where you're sitting right now.
No.
It was in there. It was in the update booth because Gambo had gone in there to field a phone call from a source or a somebody, and he wanted some privacy. And he went in there. He left his wallet in there. He was losing his mind over
Gambo,
his wallet.
Feel free to leave your wallet in here anytime.
You might not get all the contents back.
Yeah. No, you will not.
I get that tunnel vision, you know, and stuff like that happens.
Yeah, I know.
All right, but anyway, listen, glad you're here. Glad you were able to make it.
Me too.
I'm glad you were able to make it.
Yep, and my senior moment aside, here's what we're weighing in on as our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
Final game before the All-Star break tonight for the Phoenix Suns. Monty Williams and Devin Booker both today at shoot-around. Man, we really want this game tonight against the Warriors.
We want to close it out in a strong way going into the break. I'm sure everybody does, though. But we do have a high level of wanting to win this game. Our team has competed so hard. We've dealt with so much, and we want to feel good about better about ourselves going into the break.
Let's see if they're able to accomplish that tonight. Unfortunately, the injuries are still lingering for the Phoenix Suns. Here's Monty Williams with the injury update on Baines and Frank Kaminsky, and at the very end, DeAndre Ayton.
I wish I had more to tell you. Nothing has changed. They haven't had any more evaluations that would determine when they're going to come back, so that's all I got.
What's Ayton's status?
Probably going to be out.
Ayton's status, probably going to be out.
Yeah, they're going to get the reinforcements back outside of Frank Kaminsky once they get back from the All-Star break. So they're expected to get Saric back and Baines back, and everybody's going to be back going into the coming out of the All-Star
game. 27 games will remain at the end when the All-Star break is over.
Yeah, they just not Kaminsky. Kaminsky's the only one that they're not going to have back when they come back from the All-Star break. Now, the Ayton thing is interesting because I had heard earlier that they were hopeful that he was going to play. So I wouldn't rule it out. They were hopeful he was going to play. And part of that is, like, if he doesn't play today, he may not be able to play in that, you know, that Young Stars game with the All-Star Rising Stars game.
I think it's Friday night at the All-Star break in, in Chicago.
So if he doesn't play, then he may not play in the Rising Stars game.
I mean, look, I'm sure the Suns would love the pub of him playing in the but if he's not feeling well enough to be able to play tonight, and I don't have a problem with holding him out tonight. I mean, you got to get him better. It's just one game before the break. But if he's not well enough to play tonight, I don't think he should get on a plane and fly to Chicago and play however many minutes he's going to play in the Rising Stars game.
Right. Just get him ready for the second half of the season. That game's meaningless.
Yeah,
the All-Star game is great. The Rising Stars game, I'm sure it's fun, but no need to do it if he's injured. I mean, no need to risk anything because you want to make sure he comes back and, you know, try to finish strong and get over 30 wins this year.
So just to reiterate, you're saying next week, and they've got, a 9-day layoff in between games, 10-day layoff in between. After tonight, they don't play again for a week and a half. Baines will be back, barring any setbacks. Baines will be back. Sarge will be back. Kaminsky's the one who won't be back.
Yes, Kaminsky's the one that's not going to be back. Everybody else will be.
In the meantime, there was some breaking news about the Phoenix Suns while I was, you know, driving up and down the Interstate 10 as fast as I possibly could. And I'm not too familiar with it. So why don't you fill all of the folks, including your co-host, in on what exactly is going down with the Phoenix Suns?
So
right
the
now.
Suns have signed Jonah Bolden to a 10-day contract. So, Jonah Bolden is a guy. He's an Australian kid. He played at UCLA. He was drafted by Brian Colangelo in the 76ers in the second round. He's a power forward, backup center. He could shoot the ball a little bit. He's had a hard, you know, he was with Monty. Monty was in Philly for a year and a half when he was there. So for the year and a half that he was in Philly, he had Monty there. So Monty knows him, and they just. Look, they need a body. It's a 10-day contract. They'll give him an opportunity to play. You know, he can knock down some shots, play some backup five, play a little four. So they just, you know, that's the guy they got rid of Tyler Johnson, and they decided to go get a forward right now with all the injuries
there. There was a lot of talk among Suns media, Suns Twitter. Okay, Tyler Johnson is out. What are the Suns going to do with his empty roster spot? Who are they going to look at? What types of players are they going to consider? The first move they made in that regard was to bring Jonah Bolden in. Is he auditioning for that spot for the rest of the season? Would there be another player that they would add since this is just a 10-day contract and they only have one or two games in the next 10 days? I mean, it's got the potential to be a very, very temporary thing for Jonah Bolden.
It does. Basically, for him, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for him. Monty knows him. Kid, you know, like I said, Australian kid's got some international experience, played over in Europe, so he's got some professional experience there. Got waived by Philly because Embiid was injured and they needed a backup center more than they needed a power forward. So then, you know, they got rid of him. It's just an opportunity. He can knock down shots. He's a big kid. Can play a couple different positions. It gives him some versatility. And when they've got all these injuries, they'll get him in there tonight. And you're right. I mean, 10 days, that goes by pretty quickly. They've got an opportunity after that to either sign him to another 10-day contract, or they can, you know, just decide to sign him for the rest of the season or let him go. But they bring him in just because, you know, that was the position they felt they needed. So Tyler Johnson was a guard. They got rid of Tyler Johnson, and they ended up bringing in a forward.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, more than anything, when they come back from this All-Star break, and they obviously need it. They need the break. Devin Booker today said the All-Star break is coming at a great time for him.
Great time. Great time. I think for everybody, honestly, and not just our team, you know, the league as a whole. You know, it's been a lot to grasp in 2020. So getting away and getting some time to, you know, work on your mental, I think will be good.
I'll be very curious to see what this team looks like when they come back. And not in terms of the roster necessarily. There's going to be no changes there. But getting some of their guys back, getting Šarić, getting Baines back, getting presumably DeAndre Ayton back, getting Devin Booker some much-needed rest. We talked yesterday about how rough his game has been the last couple games, and he looks like a guy who needs a break. You'll have 27 games, hopefully, with a mostly healthy crew, And you're going to need to use those 27 games to evaluate what exactly you've got when you've got a full deck. We haven't seen hardly at all this year what the full deck Phoenix Suns look like in 2019-20. In some regards, this has been a lost season for the Suns in that regard. Because, I mean, we can probably count on one hand, if that, how many games they've had all their main guys, starters and bench, available. It hasn't happened.
No, and that's why you're right. It's difficult to judge this season, but you do. You have to judge it. You know why? Because Baines is a free agent and Sarge is a free agent. You got to decide what you're going to do. My expectations are that they, and I'm 100% sure that Dario Saric is not coming back. And I'm about, 80% sure that Aaron Baines is not coming back. Hasn't been healthy. Hasn't been available. I think they'll look for a different backup center. I do. So Saric is not coming back. I think that they'll make a play for a power forward. We've talked about this. They've got a one. They've got a two. They've got a three. They've got a five. They need a four. And it's not going to be Dario Saric. He just, hasn't played well enough, and he hasn't been available some. So I think that they'll move on from him, and they'll go get a different power forward, and they'll try to upgrade that position.
Devin Booker's plans for the All-Star break after tonight?
I'm just relaxing. Getting away from basketball, spending some time with my family and friends. Unsure of our destination yet, but, might just disappear off the grid for a little bit.
Good. He needs it.
Banana boat, Bahamas, D'Angelo and Karl Anthony Towns.
With his boys, you think so?
Banana boat.
Maybe.
Could be.
Perhaps. We'll see. Again, the game tonight starts at 7 o'clock. We'll be on the Fox Sports Arizona pregame show about 6:45. Tom Chambers, Tom Leander will be on our show at 5:45. That's what we do when we're down here. Suns, Warriors tonight, final game before the All-Star break. When we come back, the Arizona Cardinals, holes to fill, money to spend. What's the plan this summer? You'll hear Michael Bidwell weigh in on that topic next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show on this Wednesday. Newsmakers Week continuing all week long this morning. Probably, I would imagine, one of the more, and I mean this is no disrespect to anybody else, but I think one of the more anticipated interviews of the Newsmakers Week for Duck and Wolf, and that would be President and Chairman of the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Bidwell. Always a lot to talk to him about, the state of the international game, the state of Hard Knocks, and the fact that the Cardinals are eligible for that. We're going to get more specific into the running back question coming up a little bit later on in the show. Of course, free agency and all of that. But I think for a lot of Cardinal fans, and I don't want to speak for you on this one, but I'll speak for myself on this one. I think a lot of Cardinal fans want to hear from Michael about Steve Keim and about the faith in Steve Keim and about the belief in Steve Keim to turn this thing around. And Michael addressed that this morning with Doug and Wolf. Why do you still support Keim as your general manager?
Well, I'd say he just picked a rookie of the year, his last draft pick. He had obviously a lot to do with hiring Cliff Kingsbury. He's done a lot of things right. And I feel like, we've certainly turned. And for as much as the Cardinals are going in the right direction, Steve Keim deserves a lot of credit for that. And so I hope fans recognize that was a lot of his decision making. Kenyon Drake, we spent a few minutes speaking about Kenyon. There are a lot of good things that are happening.
Michael's got his GM's back. As you would expect,
he got the franchise quarterback right. And if he would have got that wrong, they'd have a new GM right now. But he got the coach and the quarterback right. He got a chance to do a do-over, right? He got a chance for a do-over. I mean, a year ago right now, from today, yeah, Steve Wilkes and, you were coming off of Steve Wilkes and Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkes got fired, but, and he was hired by them. But you were coming off of a season in which, those are your guys. And they pivoted and they went a different direction and he got those guys right. Steve still has a lot of work to do on the draft. And especially, I think, with these first round picks, right? Because that's probably the biggest knock, the first round pick. So they've got some cap space this year, which is going to be good for them. They've got a good draft pick, which is good for them. So Michael has a lot of faith in Steve going forward.
He also said, look, decisions were made defensively, and you can't blame Steve Keim for the injuries and the other stuff that happen on that side of the football.
He's received his fair share of criticism. Some of these draft picks didn't work out. But you look at just last year, look at the number of starters that were not available in our defense. Had they been available, you know, the season could have been, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, much different. That had to do with injury and other things that, you know, you can't blame any general manager for.
Yeah, and it kind of goes all along with sort of what I had thought might be the rationale with the Cardinals, that getting the franchise quarterback right was so essential that it can effectively kind of mask all of the other
100%.
Mistakes that might have been made. Now, I don't know whether that should be the case. We can have a discussion as to whether that should be the case, but it's such a big decision when it comes to the franchise quarterback. And I do, you know what, I also circle back to something you've said many times, and I know not everybody agrees with this, but I do, that in retrospect, there are some people saying that what Steve Keim did last year in drafting Kyler Murray was not that bold in retrospect, was not that big of a risk in retrospect.
Me and you totally disagree.
And I agree with you, and I disagree with that sentiment. I think in real time, in the moment, as we were discussing drafting Kyler Murray leading up into the moment that they did, I think people forget there was real risk in that. I think people forget just how bold that stroke was. It looks like an absolute no-brainer now, but at the time, I don't think anybody thought of it as a, nope, there's no other thing for you to do. You got to draft Kyler Murray. You've got no choice in this matter. Nobody was looking at it that way a year ago.
Now,
nobody.
You know, if you're panicking, right, because you're going to get criticized if you go that route. Wait, you just drafted a quarterback. You moved up to get him. And now you're getting rid of him a year later? You hired a coach. You fired him. You drafted a quarterback. You're getting rid of him. The safest play was to build with Rosen and draft Bosa. That was the safe play. Draft Bosa. Now, you know, no criticism. Now you're not saying, hey, we're going to try to build with that. And if your quarterback has a bad year this year, you go into next year. Well, it's his third year. We're expecting a breakthrough, but Rosen would have started all those games last year. That was the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the safe way, right? We always talk about that. Got to play it safe. Sometimes you got to play it safe, and sometimes you got to go for it. They went for it. That wasn't playing it safe. They had to do so many. You had to trade Rosen. And then you had to get criticized for the fact that you didn't get as much out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to trade Rosen, get criticized for not getting as much for him, a second-round pick. Then you get criticized for the second-round pick.
Sure.
And then you needed Murray to pan out. Like, you needed Murray to be good.
Now you know, I think the other side of the coin is this. I said at the time, if you get Kyler Murray right, it doesn't matter everything else that you get wrong. I've since come to amend that a little bit. I almost want to take that back a little bit because, yes, it mattered getting Kyler Murray, but that should not give you a free pass on every other decision you make.
No.
And at the time, I admit I said it. On draft night and in the days after the draft, I said, man, if you get this one right, you could screw up every single draft pick in 2019 and it won't matter. I hope they don't screw up every other draft pick in 2019. And I hope some of these receivers pan out. And I hope Byron Murphy gets better. And I hope Zach Allen gets better and plays a little bit more this last year. I wish I hadn't said it because I don't think the power of getting the franchise quarterback right allows you the mulligan on every other pick or every first-round pick that you've missed on. You've got to, and I hope, Steve Keim, whatever process is going wrong for him in evaluating these draft picks, I hope he's evaluating his own process to figure out what mistakes he's making. Why is he missing on these guys? What is he not seeing? What is he spending too much time looking at? What is he not spending enough time looking at? Because he's got to get better at this.
Yeah.
He's got to get better at
this. And he did a reevaluation of himself after Mahomes, right? Was it Mahomes?
Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
It was Wilson.
Reevaluation after Russell Wilson. What did I miss on that? How did we miss that? Why?
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I mean, you got to evaluate that every year, right? You go through your picks. And now, last year's draft, I mean, Kyler Murray, good pick, right? Zach Allen, they think that's going to be a good pick. Byron Murphy, think it's going to be a good pick.
So,
there are some picks there that they like, but you still go back and then you reevaluate it. Like, they've got to hit on more of these picks because that's the best way to build a football team. It's still through the draft. It's not through free agency and trades. It's still through the draft.
More Michael from Doug and Wolf this morning. Plans for free agency.
Well, I think, first of all, we've got a lot of room, but we've also got some extensions we need to do, so that's going to eat up some room. We did an extension, if you will, last month that I personally signed with a certain receiver. So, you know, we're eating up that room with the extensions, and hopefully we'll get some more done. You know, the rookie class is going to take up some of that room. We've got to save some room for you know, the kind of acquisitions like Kenyon Drake. Just back to that, we were able to get Kenyon Drake done because we had some room.
And while we're on the topic of free agency and things like that, DJ Humphreys, your starting left tackle. Yeah, we could use the franchise tag on him, possibly.
We'd like to have him back, and we also have the tag out there, the franchise tag that we can use. So, you know, we'll see where we end up. But, you know, again, back to the predictability of unpredictability of the offseason in the National Football League.
I'll be curious to see how much DJ Humphreys is going to get. They can use both the franchise tag and the transition tag this year. Usually you have to pick one or the other. But this year being the final year of the CBA, you can use both if you want. I'll be curious to see if they employ either one of those on DJ Humphreys when it's all said and done.
My guess is no, that they're going to be able to come to an agreement on a deal, you know, right around that $15, $16 million a year range. You know, he had a good year, and they drafted him, and he you know, he had some injuries early, and he had some struggle. But last year was a very good year for DJ Humphreys.
It sure would be nice, though, wouldn't it? To have another year to evaluate DJ Humphreys?
Yeah, of course.
On a franchise tag type situation, before you commit long-term dollars to him, I hate to say, hey, you had a really good year, now do it again. But, hey, you had a really good year, go do it again. Before we say, here's a lot of money we're going to throw in your lap. Because it has been a very unsatisfying career for DJ Humphreys up until the 2019 season. And to use that tag to buy yourself one more year to evaluate, I don't think it's such a bad thing with DJ Humphreys.
Can't use the tag in consecutive years either, right?
Was that the rule? I believe that's the rule, but I'm not.
You just got to evaluate going forward. Am I going to need this tag next year? How am I, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You just got to look, because if you feel like you can get a reasonable deal done, then you get the deal done. If you feel like, hey, I really needed a year to evaluate him, then you could go the tag route.
D-backs pitchers and catchers reporting the Salt River today. Cactus League play is right around the corner. Baseball season is right around the corner. There are battles to be decided on this improved D-backs roster. What are they? We'll go over some of the big ones coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, we send it back to the Ak-Chin Community Studios, where Sarah Cazell is standing by with a poll question that is a complete mystery to me. I have absolutely no idea what it is today.
Oh.
So it better be wow me.
No pressure, right?
Wow me.
He was driving back to Gilbert. Like,
I was.
40 minutes left to go before the show started.
He was scrambling.
To be fair, we didn't have a show scheduled for today, and then we just, you know, put it on him last second. And so, yeah, it's fair.
If anybody saw a little RAV4 with a Life is Good tire cover on it going 90 miles per hour down the I-10, that was me.
Oh, that's funny.
Flying on down that I-10. Yeah. I want to get his backpack. All right. So
they don't have photo radar anymore.
Amen to that. So what's the poll question today? What do we got?
All right, you guys. Well, as you know, the Suns head into the All-Star break after they play the Warriors tonight. So which moment from the first half of the season was your favorite? I've got three for you to pick from, or a fill in your own blank. The first being their October 26th win over the Clippers, one of the first games of the season. Starting 7-4, mostly without DeAndre Ayton, or passing last year's win total, and then fill in the blank if you have another one.
Starting 7-4.
Yes.
Starting 7-4.
It's been the most 100%.
It's been the most excited I've been about the Suns in
everybody
a half
was
decade.
Talking about them, right? There was stories everywhere.
Everybody was talking about them. Starting 7-4. That's my answer.
That was mine as well. And I'm surprised it doesn't have more than 44% votes. That's where we are right now. 44% say starting 7-4, mostly without Ayton.
Yeah, but passing last year's win total is going to be one pretty high up, I think.
Yes, it is.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, thank God they won more games than they did last year.
Truly. 37% of our voters, that's our second place pick, 37% say passing last year's win total. Only 14% say the win over the Clippers early on, and then 5% replied otherwise. A lot of good options down there to pick from. If you follow us on the Burns and Gambo Twitter handle, check it out.
At Burns and Gambo is where you can find us on social media. You can interact with the show. You can interact with Sarah. She'll, as always, send us some of the very best ones possible so we can read some of them on the air. At Burns and Gambo on social media. Already news out of the first workout for actually a little bit of news here, a little bit of news there about the Arizona Diamondbacks and the first day of pitchers and catchers working out. Mike Leake projected as part of that battle for the final spot in the pitching rotation has a little bit of wrist soreness, according to Torrey Lovello, and is getting an MRI.
He had some left wrist soreness that was found out last night at his physical. So he is off to get a precautionary MRI right now. And that's as much as I know right now at this point. So he was not here today.
He, according to the reports from the beat writers, he had some sort of a fall at his home. And that's how he hurt the wrist.
Wow.
Nothing more specific about that. Just a fall at home, and that's what led to the wrist injury.
Not old enough to be having falls at home.
To be fair, I stuff happens, right? I mean, you slip, I don't know.
We got to get a life lock for him.
Yes.
I know he's the veteran on that pitching staff. Does he really need a I've fallen and I can't get up kind of device? Are we already doing that for Mike Leake?
In fact, if
I were one of his teammates and I wanted to razz him, I'd buy one of those and I'd put one of those in his locker. And to be waiting for him his first day of spring training, I've fallen and I can't get up device.
That's kind of mean.
That's what I would do.
I mean, there are other reasons why you could fall. Maybe you slipped.
Of course.
Yeah, slipped in the shower, yes, you fell.
Exactly. You tripped on something.
Vertigo, man. I couldn't stand up. I was falling all over the place. Two steps.
Torrey Lovello said just a fall at home. Mad bum. Going to be the opening day starter. Not a surprise. No dur.
Robbie, they got plenty of options.
Robbie Ray dropped 15 pounds from last season.
From what?
Robbie Ray?
Where?
I'm just looking at a tweet from Steve Gilbert. He cut out dairy from his diet. He dropped 15 pounds from last season.
Wow.
Whatever helps, whatever works.
Yeah, I didn't think of him as a heavy guy anyway.
I didn't really either. Oh, and Andrew Chafin is still not telling anybody what exactly Madison Bumgarner is giving him to switch numbers. Chafin was rocking his new number 47 today.
I reported what it was.
No, you didn't. Actually, you didn't. I remember you almost did, but you didn't.
But I know what it is.
Yeah, I know you know what it is, but you didn't report it on the air. I remember it very distinctly. You did not. Everybody thinks he's getting a horse from Mad Bum, and he's like, no, it's not a horse. No, he's not giving me a horse. No, I'm not getting a horse to change my numbers.
It was another extracurricular piece of equipment, was it not?
No, it was. I think you can.
Go ahead, say it, because I can't even remember what I said.
some sort of a hunting trip.
Yes.
Some sort of a hunting.
Gear? Was it gear?
No, I thought it was a trip. I thought he was going to get a trip. I thought he was going to get a trip. As we go into the spring for a roster that is improved, the bullpen's improved, the rotation's improved, the lineup is improved, everything got better for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I don't know if it's going to be good enough for this battle against the LA Dodgers, but there's no question the Arizona Diamondbacks are a better team. There are position battles to watch with the start of spring training. I just mentioned one of them a second ago. Mike Leake getting an MRI on his wrist soreness. There's no question he, and we would presume Merrill Kelly, are locked in a battle right now for the fifth starter spot in that rotation, right?
Yeah, and I've said all along, like, I'm not sold that you just automatically give it to Mike Leake. I mean, you've got a lot of options out there, right? And I don't think it's just, you know, Mike Leake and Merrill Kelly, although that's probably likely, and then the young pitchers could go back to AAA because you've got options on them, or, you know, they could be long guys out of the bullpen because they just have so much depth now in their starting pitching. And you expect that Bumgarner will go one, and Ray will go two, and Gallen will go three, and then if he's healthy, Luke Weaver could go four, and then five is probably Kelly and Leake, but you've also got, you know, Taylor Clark, and you got Alex Young, and you've got a lot of other options.
John Duplantier, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was several guys that got options to pitch last year. They got opportunities to pitch last year. So I think you go into spring training with a real open mind on that fifth starter. I don't think you pencil anybody in. I think you let the winner of spring training win that battle.
Yeah, here's Torrey Lovello on the tough decisions they need to make in their rotation.
We have some decisions to make. There's no doubt about it. You guys can see some of the quality arms that by name, and then you're going to start to watch them compete here. But really, that's what it's all about. It is that competition that brings out the best in guys. So I'll sit down. I'm going to start to have one-on-ones tomorrow with all the players. I'll outline some of those thoughts. I don't want to tell you exactly what I'm going to say, but these players will know exactly where they stand and what they're competing for. But we have some quality arms, and we have some tough decisions to make, and that means we're a good baseball team.
Speaking of those conversations, I would love to be a fly on the wall for Torrey's conversation with Archie Bradley. Does he anoint him as the closer when he has the one-on-one conversation with Archie?
I think so.
Does he tell him you've got competition, either from Lopez or Rondon or Ginkel or whomever? Or does he say, hey, look, it's yours. This is the year. It's yours. Go get it.
I think the way he finished last season and how strong he was down the stretch, that those final, you know, 2 months, I think Archie goes, you know, and I think Lovello had hinted to us at one point that, you know, right now Archie'd be my closer. And I think you go in and you just say, you're the closer. It's your job. You know, let him win. Just work on it. You're the closer. Work on everything. You're the closer of this baseball team. You know, don't make him guess. He's the guy. Give him the opportunity. And if he fails, you've got other guys that can now do that, right? Rondon's been a closer before and decent at it. So you've got other guys that could fill that spot if Archie fails. But I would rather go to Archie and say, look, you've worked hard. You came back strong. Because was there ever a year where there was more adversity for Archie Bradley than last year?
Oh, no. I wanted to send him down to the minors in June.
You did?
I was a loud vocal advocate for sending Archie Bradley down to the minors.
He couldn't get anybody out.
But his last 30-something appearances, he had an ERA under a 1.5. He was very, very good.
Fantastic.
It goes against, you know how like there are just certain things that we come to count on from our teams, the way they make decisions, the way they go about their business, whether it's the Cardinals in free agency, whether it's the Suns in the draft. I've just come to expect for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're not going to anoint anybody their closer because that's kind of been their MO under Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello. That's just sort of how they've operated. That we think we know who the guy is, and usually we're right, but they've never come out and said who the guy is until later on in the offseason, whether it was Fernando Rodney or Boxberger or I'm trying to remember who it was last year.
Fernando Rodney, Boxberger. Last year they had Hirano closed games for them. Archie down the stretch closed games for them. And
the one they signed, I can't even remember his name. It's just been that kind of a day.
The former Rocky guy.
Right, yeah. And he was the closer at the beginning of the season until they had to switch a little bit later. So I'll be curious to see.
Holland was the guy. He was terrible.
I'll be curious to see how that conversation goes. Supercuts, the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball. And with the 2020 season right around the corner, they're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the first day game of the season for the D-backs Wednesday, April 1st, against San Francisco. Text the word CUT to 620-620 to enter. It's arguably the most complicated position group for the Cardinals this offseason. What is Arizona's plan for David Johnson, Kenyon Drake, and the running back room? We got some insight into that. We'll share it with you next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I forgot to send this email to you, this link to you. But there was a story this morning on Pro Football Focus, and it was headlined, "The Rams and Cardinals showed why NFL teams should never invest in running backs."
Oh.
And it was basically an essay on, hey, teams, you should learn from what they did. Don't do what they did. Don't give your running back a bunch of money because
learn from their mistakes.
They even go so far to say that this time a year from now, the Dallas Cowboys will regret having given Ezekiel Elliott the contract that they did. And that they warn in advance teams that can and will get caught in the same trap. The Cowboys, the Titans with Derrick Henry, the Bengals with Joe Mixon, the Giants with Saquon Barkley. Be careful, they say. Be careful.
Come on, man. Not every single running back is going to be a failure. I mean, there's just no way. There's no way that every single running back is going to be a failure.
But if the odds say that 75% of them are going to be a failure, do you want to take your chances on whether you got the right one or whether you got the wrong one?
No, but I mean, come on. Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. Are we really getting to the point where every time somebody has a good running back, don't sign him? I mean, that's impossible. There's going to be running backs that are good. There's going to be running backs that you're going to let go of. They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to have a great years. Why did I let that guy go? I mean, through the history of football, there have been great running backs that have been great for 10 years. There are plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of running backs that have been good for 7 to 10 years. I mean, it can't be that every time there's a good running back, somebody says, don't sign him. Why? Well, look what happened to David Johnson. Look what happened to Todd Gurley.
Lev Bell. we can make a big, long list of running backs who got paid who didn't turn out to be very good. So fast forward to the Cardinals. And today, Michael Bidwell, part of Newsmakers Week, was on with Duggan Wolf, the president, chairman of the Arizona Cardinals. And first of all, the guys kind of joked with him a little bit. Hey, you saw Kenyon Drake's new profile picture on Twitter. He's got the Cardinals gear on. He's got the Cardinals beanie on, but he's looking back. What do you think it all means, Michael?
I think it's a positive that he had his Cardinals uniform on, and I think that's the only conclusion you can draw. We know that we loved him, and it was a great selection. Steve Keim and the personnel group, did a great job here in acquiring Kenyon, and it was an aggressive move, and it really paid off. And I think Kenyon really enjoyed his time here.
So, with that in mind,
should have enjoyed his time here. He got all the carries.
Absolutely. How does this work with a new deal with Drake? And Michael Bidwell said it takes two to tango.
As we go forward, he's obviously a free agent. It takes two people to make a deal. There are a lot of moving parts. You guys know that every offseason. When we come to, the thing that is most predictable about the National Football League is its unpredictability. So, but, when you sit here
worst
today.
First all the time.
Exactly. And it's just great that he had a Cardinals uniform on, and we get to talk to him about rejoining us next year.
I didn't think we were going to spend this much time this offseason talking about whether they should re-sign Kenyon Drake or not, but now, given how freaked out everybody is about running backs and how strapped the Cardinals are when it already comes to what they're paying their running backs and their ability to trade David Johnson, this has become a major talking point for this offseason for the Cards. Kenyon Drake and where the line in the sand is for him.
Yeah, I mean, there is a line in the sand, right? There is. I'm not going
to
cross that line.
Has to be.
I'm not going past this number. There has to be.
Reasonable human beings will argue where that line is, and I think you think that line is a little higher than I do, but I think people disagree where exactly that line should be for Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, because you can get running backs, elsewhere. Like, if you look at this draft coming up, and I was looking at this earlier today, at the draft, because Eno Benjamin is considered in someplace like the eighth best running back in the draft. But if you look, there are some guys that you can get if you wanted to go draft and not count on him, a seventh round guy or a guy that doesn't get drafted. They've got J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State, number one. DeAndre Swift from Georgia, two. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, three. Very good running back, Jonathan Taylor. Really liked him. 3-year start at Wisconsin. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire, LSU.
You and those Wisconsin guys, man.
I like Jonathan Taylor. He's a beast, man. He is. He's a beast. A really good running back. Zach Moss, the kid from Utah. We've seen him plenty in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Is the fifth. So you could go with a guy. I mean, you could go get a running back, second round, maybe the third round. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, I'm going to go with this guy, and I still got Chase Edmonds, and you can sign a backup. Like you've been pointing out all along, you could sign a guy for $2.5-3 million and not pay
Kenyon Drake,
all that money to Kenyon Drake.
$6-7 million, right?
Right, but I think I would, if we're going to go that route, I would almost rather draft another running back. A really good college running back, and then have a battle. I've got Chase, who's a quality backup, and I can have a free agent that's there, and then I get myself a Jonathan Taylor or a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a Zach Morse or any of those guys.
Lost in the conversation, but certainly an intricate part of the conversation is David Johnson. Michael Bidwell this morning, what are your expectations for David Johnson?
Well, my expectations are, obviously to go back to the 2016 season and, his rookie year and he was such a productive player on the field. Those are his, too. And, he had some real challenges this year getting back to those levels of performance on the field. But the one thing that is absolutely constant is what a great person he is and what a great job he does in the community. And that's why he was our Walter Payton Man of the Year winner for 2019.
But then ask specifically what the offseason plan for David Johnson is. This is what Michael told the guys this morning on Newsmakers Week.
I think what we're going to do is he is a member of the organization just like anybody else that's under contract, and that's where he is.
And that's that.
Not a lot there. Not a lot to under contract. He's a member of the organization, and that's where it is. They're going to try to trade him, of course. They're going to try to trade him. They're not going to cut him. I don't see any scenario in which they cut him. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I don't see a scenario in which they cut him. And Michael said all the right things, right? Walter Payton, man of the year, great in the community,
Great in the community. He's a great guy.
It's about winning football. It's about winning football games. You know, you're not signing a bunch of choir boys and great. You want people to be good in the community, but you also want them to be good football players. Mm-hmm. And David Johnson has really struggled these last couple of years and change of scenery. I mean, I think I saw an ESPN piece today that was talking about guys who need to change of scenery, and David Johnson's, of course, listed as the Cardinals' main guy that needs to change of scenery. Because if he wants to resurrect his career, I mean, it's a chance. I mean, he's not too old to get his career back on track. He just needs the right opportunity with the right coach in the right situation.
There were some interesting names on that ESPN list, by the way, of guys who could use a change of scenery. Yeah, David Johnson was the one that was chosen to represent the Cardinals on that list. Tony Jefferson from the Ravens as a guy who could use a change of scenery.
TJ got hurt.
Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Derek Carr.
Nick Foles already? He just signed.
Nick Foles already.
Everybody needs a change of scenery. He just got there.
He's already being listed as a guy who could use a change of scenery. Cam Newton, obviously. O.J. Howard could use a change of scenery. Todd Gurley could use a change of scenery.
Let me just ask you something.
Sure, real quick.
If you can't make the right trade, I'd have to look at the numbers, so don't hold me to this.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just do a Gurley for David Johnson swap?
Whoa!
If you can't get rid of the money, and I'm just asking you, if it works out to where, I'd have to look at this. I don't even know. See, I'm jumping ahead. I have to look at what the cap ramifications are and what the salaries are. But if they're similar, hey, he's not working for me here. He's not working for you there. I can't.
Within the division,
I can't trade him. And neither team could trade him. Neither team could trade
just
their guy.
Swap and see, man, if you just can change the fortunes of either one of them?
Why not?
By trading?
I mean, why the hell not?
Boy, you sprung that on me, and we're 10 seconds from a break. I really need to think about it more. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. I need to ruminate on that
one
a little
bit. One man's trash is another man's trash.
When we come back, the baseball world buzzing about the possible changes in the baseball postseason. If the new rules were already in place, how would it have changed the history and what we know about the Arizona Diamondbacks? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.